Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a beatdown! Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees. It's a getaway day edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Good that Brendan made it the whole week. That is very good. I didn't know I was going to be here to make the show. I got rear-ended again. For the third time in 8 months.
And you got
so
a car accident.
Mad. Huh. Ha ha. Too soon. I'm not in the mood for laughing and jokes.
I actually said this before we started the show. I feel angry for you because you've been through so much with car accidents in the last year or so and issues with your car. But
yeah, I forgot I had a car stolen too. I've been rear-ended three times in the last 8 months, and I've had a car stolen.
I'd almost be afraid to like deal with cars ever again.
Man, that's not a good thing.
You know what I'm most mad about? The most mad about is dealing with it. Like having to call the insurance, having to get this dude's insurance, having to go to a body shop, having to get the, like, I don't have time for all of that.
I was gonna say, it's like for the normal person that just has like a 9 to 5 and a family or whatever, I understand that your schedule can be pretty hectic. Your schedule is like on steroids compared to that, like 10 times over.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. But the other thing that would annoy the hell out of me that I thought you were going to say is you got a new car.
Well, that annoys me too. But I mean, that's going to get fixed.
Like, but it's never going to be the same.
I think it'll be pretty close.
Like, I got when I was doing the previous show, I had a lady, a teenage girl run a red light and totaled my car and the car next to me, hit us both, running a red, and my car was in really good shape. And because she didn't have the insurance to cover both cars, they totaled the lady's car, and then my insurance, instead of totaling it, put a new frame on my car and then saved all the good pieces. It's never going to be the same.
Yeah, hopefully I don't have that. I am sad because I love my truck, and it's taken a hit today. It's taken a knock. Maybe never be the same. I'm sad. This is a Friday. I know I'm starting off the show in a very somber mood, but that's the way it is. But I'll get better as the show. I'll get some spaghetti in me. I'll get ready. I'll make it through. Okay. Bradford William Davis, who wrote that study about the Goldilocks balls, he's going to join us a little bit later. Of course, it was Dr. Will's study, but it was Brandon William Davis who penned it for The Insider. He's going to join us at 1:15. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Yep. I read it again today, too, and Robert Manfred's basically a mob boss. He runs Major League Baseball like a mob boss. He has a gag order on everybody. Last night, though, in Thursday Night Football, Baker Mayfield goes from being a Carolina Panther to asking for his release. He gets released. He hits the waiver wire. We were wondering like who was going to be the team, if there was a team that put a claim in on Baker Mayfield. There was only one team that put a claim in on Baker Mayfield. It was the L.A. Rams. And then Baker Mayfield, 3 days after he's claimed, leads a 98-yard touchdown drive with 2 minutes left in the game and lifts the L.A. Rams to victory over the Raiders. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is great. You have a 3-win team that's picking up another win. This is outstanding for the Houston Texans.
Great for the Texans. Really good for Baker Mayfield. Look, I know that there's a lot of people. He has a very polarizing personality. A lot of people can't stand him. But the fact that his career was basically teetering on the brink of just being a backup or worse, and he comes in and does this, and of course the story, because of the fact that, as you said, he only had about 2 days to get acclimated to the system and his new teammates and everything else. And to lead a 98-yard drive with less than 2 minutes to go is pretty freaking amazing. And some of the throws that he made were great throws. Now, did they catch some breaks with some penalties? Absolutely. But at the same time, were the Raiders dumb as all get out in the fact that they were manning up for the majority of the entire drive and basically giving him opportunities? Yes, and that says more about the Raiders than anything else. But credit to Baker Mayfield, because he did what a lot of people didn't think he had in him, was one hell for one night, was one hell of a quarterback when they needed him.
The biggest takeaway I took from this game, though, like, because we had this conversation about Lovie Smith yesterday and the personnel and the Houston Texans roster, Nick Caserio, this whole thing right now. And look, I think we've been very honest with where the roster's at. I think it's the worst roster in the NFL. I think Lovie Smith is trying to play chess with a bunch of pawns. Same thing for Pep Hamilton. That said, I don't think that either Lovie or Pep, relative to their position, is even mediocre, even like the halfway point. I think they're probably bottom third and probably at the bottom like 5%. So I'm not trying to make excuses for Lovie or Pep. I don't think either one really should be with the Houston Texans going forward. But the biggest takeaway watching this game, because people yesterday were like, oh, you can't put any of this on Lovie. The roster's so bad. You can't put any of it on Pep Hamilton. The roster's so bad. Watching that game yesterday tells me how important coaching is. Because you have the Raiders, who last year literally made the playoffs with an interim head coach and then got better this year. They brought in Chandler Jones, they brought in Davante Adams, and they're the laughingstock of the NFL. So you see bad coaching and the effect of bad coaching with the Las Vegas Raiders, the nosedive they've taken from 2021 to 2022 with Josh McDaniels. And I know the Rams aren't having a very good season. Now, the Rams have also been playing chess with checkers this year. Stafford's been hurt all year long. They've had tons of injuries on the offensive line. They really haven't had a chance to win. But then you have Baker Mayfield comes in, and he looks like a competent quarterback and maybe the best he's looked in a very long time behind a coach that we all think is very good. So bad coaching McDaniels, good coaching from McVay, and I think both of those examples prove to you how important it is to have good coaching in the NFL.
Oh, no question about it, especially offensive-minded coaching in the case of McVay. It's funny that a lot of people decided to turn on him this season because they were having a down year and decided to think that he wasn't as good of a coach.
I wish they would turn on him, let him come to the Texans.
Yeah, no doubt, because I want to say in one of the shows that you were out, somebody was just a complete anti-McVay guy. And I was like, I don't know how you can be that way. And then the other thing that it really lends itself to credence to is, as it brings Brendan into the conversation, the rumor that I always had that I always bring up to the show is that Goff was so good when he was with the Rams because McVay was in his ear up until the mic went off, feeding him, you know, reading the defenses and feeding him information. Baker basically backed that up last night. He said it was, you know, in part because McVay was talking to me in my ear up until the mic was turned off, and he was basically setting him up, everything from the cadence to, you know, what to look for and what was going to happen. Fantastic all the way around, but you're right. It lends itself more and more to you need an offensive-minded coach to really be successful, especially when you're talking about rebuild situations like the Texans. And franchise development of franchise quarterback, but basically the development of any quarterback, because he just turned a guy in one night after just 2 days into a guy that looked like he could at least start in the NFL, as opposed to a guy that the Carolina Panthers just cut.
Can I just be a little bit of a Scrooge here on Baker Mayfield?
That he sucks?
No. It's not that he sucks. I thought I had some belief in him to still be a starting quarterback, and I think he showed that yesterday. I do think there's a touch of overreaction. The offense still only had 3 points going into the final 4 minutes of the game.
Sure.
And they got a lot of help on that game-winning drive.
Well, I don't know where the overreaction's at, though. Like, we're not sitting here telling you that Baker Mayfield was outstanding, that Baker Mayfield's a great starting quarterback. We're telling you he got coached up really, really nicely.
I think the performance that he had is maybe being a little – maybe not – I'm not necessarily even talking about you guys, but I think this is a big conversation
universally
today. Yeah. And I think – for the record, I think Baker Mayfield is going to be a startable quarterback for the Rams, which they haven't had since Stafford got hurt. I would push the brakes on the idea that, like, McVay's going to coach him up to being really good.
I completely agree there. I think Baker Mayfield, even with, like, you know, somebody who's as brilliant, and I think Sean McVay's brilliant, even with somebody as brilliant as Sean McVay, I think you're looking at somewhere between, at his very best, 15th through 20th best quarterback in the NFL. That said, that's so much better than what the Rams have gotten this year. Like,
and he was still, the final drive was still impressive. No, so I'm not trying to entirely take
it. I think Baker goes into next year as their backup. And maybe like Stafford, if Stafford comes back, I've seen some, you know, banter out there that Matthew Stafford could retire because of the injuries, because he's been paid, because he's older.
Because he won it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he already has the title.
Yeah, he got
what's
the
incentive? Like, I've heard some banter that he could retire.
I did see his wife went on a podcast and basically said that she would love for him to. But
it's shocking that you listened to that podcast with Matthew Stafford's wife, by the way.
I read the recap of it. Because I was trying to see myself, like, is he going to be back this year? And basically, she kind of hinted that she would love for him to retire, but gets that he still loves the game too much.
Oh, really?
So I wouldn't expect it.
And I think that sometimes, too, with athletes, I mean, you never really know the person, and people can go other ways on this. Like, some people might say, look, I'm battered, I'm bruised, I'm ready to get away. Some people might say, I don't want to leave, with that being the lasting image of the NFL. So we don't know which way to go.
It's also the fear factor of what's next. A lot of guys, that's all they've known their whole life is football, and they're terrified of what comes next. It's one thing to say they're going to miss – everybody misses the camaraderie of the locker room. But trying to figure out what you do literally with the rest of your life is frightening to a lot of athletes.
Yeah, I think all of that comes into play. Well, we saw bad coaching and good coaching on display yesterday. Biggest takeaway there is coaching matters so much in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN, our HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Look, we all agree the Texans are the worst team in the league from a roster point of view, from a standings point of view. But in terms of long-term situations, are there any teams in the NFL whose long-term position that you think is worse? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans are bad. They're awful. They're having about as good a season as I am a Friday. I hope all your Fridays are going a little bit better than mine. Is there a team, though, in the NFL? Because we're looking big picture with the Texans. Let's be completely honest. That's where we are with where the Houston Texans are. 1-10-1, 12 games through the season. We're looking big picture with the Texans, as we should have been from the day Nick Caserio was hired. When you look at the landscape of the NFL, is there a team in worse position long-term than the Houston Texans? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
First one that comes to mind, Denver Broncos.
See, I disagree with that.
Okay, that's fine. That's what we do here. I'm just saying that it's one thing to say that you just overcommitted and extended Russell Wilson when he looks like he is all but on the verge of teetering to being done. And then on top of that, you gave up a lot of draft capital and a couple young players to get him. Mm-hmm. So you dug two holes for yourself, so much so that you're now trading away some of your better other players, which was part of the reason why Russ wanted to play there. And everybody said if they just get a quarterback, they could be a Super Bowl contender. So trying to get those players back and another quarterback or get out from the Wilson situation, I think that's a devastating situation.
Russ handicaps him a lot. The production that you've had from Russell Wilson after you mentioned the draft capital you gave up, two first-rounders, the players there too. Like, Noah Fant's all right. Noah Fant's a decent player in the NFL. Drew Lock's a backup. But it's the picks. It's the two first-round draft picks. And then doubling down on Russell Wilson and handing out a massive contract that makes it very difficult to, one, build up the rest of your roster. Two, if you feel like you need to get out of it, to get out of it. The reason that I would disagree with Denver is, like, at least Denver's really good on one side of the ball. And Denver's defense is really good. So, like, their
even
defense
still,
can keep
after
them in the games.
They traded Chubb.
They did.
So, they're lacking a little bit more there.
Sure, they did that at the deadline. I mean, it's been several weeks now.
I know, but I'm just saying, for the long haul for this team, I don't know if they're going to continue to be really good defensively, but, you know, I hope you're right.
And they recouped some of the draft picks that they had. So, like, Denver, I look at Denver and I agree with you that, you know, it's not an ideal long-term situation, specifically because of Russell Wilson. I would even throw the Nathaniel Hackett part of that conversation into the mix as well, because I think that they're probably going to have to make a change. If it's me, I'm making a change this year.
No question.
I'm learning my lesson. I'm not wasting the opportunity cost of having another coach next year. It's expensive, sure, but I'm going to spend out the money to try to fix a mistake. But best case scenario is there for 2 years and they fire him as well. But at least they're good on one half of the ball, whereas the Texans are still searching. Like, the Texans' allure, if you're looking at this from like a prospective general manager taking over an NFL team, is that you're going to have cap space. You have some young players that could develop. And you have plenty of draft capital going forward. So from like a rebuilding perspective, it's not the worst thing in the world. But part of it, too, is what's going on at head coach, what's going on at general manager as well. And look, Cal McNair, in my opinion, and I know that we made a bet on this yesterday, I think he's going to be around here long term. And Cal McNair is a decision maker that's going to be deciding who's running his organization as well. And Cal McNair, when it comes to appointing decision makers in the NFL, gave Bill O'Brien some rope. Bill O'Brien flamed out, was fired 4 games into a season after he went deep into the – no, I shouldn't say deep – went into a Kansas City and had a lead. Then he put tons of power in Jack Easterby, and now is appointed Nick Caserio, who some people were thinking should be fired a year and a half into a six-year contract. So there's concerns there as well. Some of the teams that I think belong in the conversation, I'm not sure that I put one team ahead of the Texans, by the way. In terms of long-term prospects, and if I'm a general manager, where would I want to go? I'm not sure there's a team that I would pick before the Texans.
I think the worst scenario, just from, like you said, both sides of the football, is the Texans. But you're right. The advantages are that you have money to spend and you have a lot of draft picks. But I think that, you know, when I look at it, I think Jacksonville, as good as they've been digging out too, but they overcommitted this year in free agency trying to right a wrong after the Urban Meyer situation, and you're still waiting to find out what you have in Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So I think
I'd rather be Jacksonville.
Though. I would rather be Jacksonville too, but yep. I'm just saying that's not an ideal situation the way it's sitting right now currently.
I mean, you have a good coach in Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence, we still don't know what Trevor
Lawrence
is.
That's the biggest thing, right? And the overspend on the guys that they were trying to do to fortify.
But they also have some young players on the defensive side of the football, too, mm-hmm. that you think could be building blocks, and they're going to have good draft picks going forward. I look at the Texans, you have draft picks going forward, but currently your head coach is Lovie Smith, and currently your general manager, who I don't think should be fired, so a lot of people want fired a year and a half into a six-year deal. 713-780-ESPN, what are worse situations around the league than the Texans? I'm not sure you can find one. Somebody said the Packers, 3501 mentioned a couple of teams. You don't think so with the Packers?
I don't, because if he leaves and walks away, he retires. Therefore, the money comes off the books. You have money to spend. You still have, like you said, if you look at both sides of the football, you got two good running backs. You've got a decent offensive line it's been dinged up all year, but it's definitely in the upper half of the league when healthy. And you've got a ton of young talent on defense. You've got two first-round picks at corners. You've got first-round picks in the linebacker and the front line and the front seven, to where there's plenty of opportunities for this team, if they get another quarterback, to plug and play and just keep going. Maybe not at the highest level that they were going at, but they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I don't know if I put the Packers in the worst situation. I don't know if I would quantify them as just fine.
The Adams pick, as Brendan and I were talking about before the show, the Adams pick looked like, well, the Raiders are going to be an AFC perennial playoff team. If the Raiders keep crap in the bed, the Packers look like those picks they got from the Raiders aren't bad either.
So they got their pick and the Raiders pick coming up.
Yeah, they got a couple picks coming up.
So they have two firsts just like the Texans would have. I wouldn't put them in the Texans league. Now, I don't know if I, because of the quarterback situation, they're talking about picking the fifth-year option up on Jordan Love. I don't think that they have much choice to do that. But they've gotten nothing out of that draft pick. 3501 also said the Cardinals as another team. The Cardinals are interesting in the sense that last year, the first six games of the year, they look like they could be a Super Bowl contender. Kyler Murray has shown flashes where he could be a franchise quarterback, top 10 quarterback, and then they paid him like one. But everything since then has like come up as snake eyes, right? Cliff Kingsbury's been exposed. Kyler Murray doesn't look like he is capable of leading an NFL football team. DeAndre Hopkins got busted for PEDs. He's getting older. They're probably going to fire Cliff. They're probably going to fire their general manager.
He just got an extension, didn't he, Cliff?
Did he?
I think so.
I think they extended him and the GM.
And Kyler Murray, all kind of successively.
But I think that they might have to move on from Cliff Kingsbury as well.
Very possible.
So the Cardinals aren't in an ideal situation, but then I would also say that their roster is better than the Texans' roster as currently built.
I do think you can make the case that the Texans are still in the worst position long term.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, I think it actually speaks to really no NFL team being in a terrible situation. Because the thing that the Texans have going for them is, even if Nick Caserio is not a good GM, mm-hmm. I think they have so many resources and draft picks that by default, they are going to pull themselves out of this place.
I agree. I think
Denver, for the record, is the team that comes to my mind as well. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing I look for is, if you have a quarterback that you're financially invested in who you don't believe in, that's really hard to come back from. The only thing that they have going for them is maybe Russ isn't actually
the player. I would say that is true, but I would also go the other way and say, if you have a huge investment to a quarterback that's not producing, it can be equally as bad. Like, I would put Russell Wilson in that category, and I would put Kyler Murray in that category.
Sure, no, and that's why I think Denver. That's Arizona is interesting because of the Kyler Murray question.
Mm-hmm.
At least he's, like, young. If he can be QB 15, it's not going to bury you. Russell Wilson likely isn't getting better.
Let me, how about like these middling teams, like that could be potentially stuck in football purgatory? Like you expect Pittsburgh to get better because Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh, but like the Commanders, I can't take the Commanders seriously long term at all when they're running Tyler Heinicke out there and then Carson Wentz is their backup. Yes, they're 7-5-1. Yes, they have a really good defense, but what's their ceiling? Like I would argue their ceiling is what they're producing at right now. The Giants you have confidence in because you think Daboll is a great head coach. Seattle, maybe because Pete Carroll, but I don't know if Geno Smith is long-term sustainable with being a quarterback at that level in the NFL, and he's had a great season. Maybe you can throw Carolina into the conversation here. How about the two teams that played
Carolina
last night?
I just thought
the Las Vegas Raiders? How about the LA Rams?
See, I think now the Rams, because they basically gutted all of their assets from a draft perspective,
mm-hmm.
I that limits them for sure. If Stafford walks away and retires, that does the organization a solid.
Agreed.
The biggest thing that I think both cities have going for them are the cities themselves. People want to go to Vegas. People want to go to L.A. And the problem is that you've got two different sides of the ball. You've got Aaron Donald getting older, and you've got some really good players that are kind of getting to their peak and downside of their career, being paid a lot of money in veterans. And then you've got the Adams deal with the Raiders. You don't know. They're talking about possibly moving on from Carr, doing what they can to move on from him after last night and the way it's gone. You basically didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Josh Jacobs, and he can walk, and he has been a massive part of your offense. So,
yeah, but you can also tag him.
You can. But again, we know what we say about running backs and overpaying on running backs. And do they ever give you the return on investment? Second deal.
Yeah, but a tag is 1 year. Like the reason you don't want to give a running back their second contract is because of the length. I don't mind giving if it's still very, very productive, playing them on the tag. Now, sometimes we talk about the franchise tag as it's like very, you know, binary, where it's very, you either have the tag or you don't. A lot of times players don't like the tag, and then they'll hold out, or they won't play under the tag, especially running backs, because running backs know the importance of getting said contract. So it's not as easy just slapping the tag on a player and be like, oh, yeah, he's going to be happy with all of that, and he's not going to hold out. He's not going to demand a contract whenever he could. I think my answer, like, I'm not sure that the Texans are on this list, but a lot of it's because coaching and general managing. Like, at least the Rams have McVay. The Raiders, at least they have some talent like Devontae Adams. Rams, I mean, they still have Aaron Donald. I know he's aging. They still have Jalen Ramsey. I know he's aging. But you feel like you can fix that quickly. They still have Cooper Kupp. Like, you feel like you could make a move or two where all of a sudden they're a playoff team again. I think if you're looking for a team in a worse situation, I think you have to look in the middle of the league. I think you have to look at the Commanders. I know that the Titans have Titans not a great example.
I got one that's going to kind of shock some people.
All right, let's hit that one on the other side, because I have another one as well. 713-780-ESPN. Which franchises are in the worst situation in the NFL? Which franchise is worse than the Houston Texans situation? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, Doc Linville is the king, in my opinion, of the NeoGraft procedure. And the NeoGraft procedure is a life changer because it keeps you and your own hair on a beautiful ride down Paradise Lane as you continue to look good on a daily basis and have a full head of hair, as opposed to you're thinning, you're losing it. You don't think there's anything you can do about it. You either got to shave it off or you got to go with all those different products that mask it, like sprays and creams and foams. No, the NeoGraft procedure takes hair where you have it, will never lose it, and genetically you never will lose it on the sides and the back, and takes some of it and transports it to where you need it by transplanting it where you have the spots that show the most, mainly on the top and the back, and your hairline. It takes care of the situation so that the hair grows and it stays and it gets thicker and stronger. It's going to be with you for the long haul. And the thing that got me was 95%+ of the follicles moves actually stay and grow and are going to be with you for the rest of your life. That's amazing to me. So what he did was he wanted to do something special for ESPN 97.5 listeners. So on top of the fact that he believes in the procedure, if you're an ESPN 97.5 listener and you go to 975hair.com right now and you book an appointment, they're not going to charge you a thing. They normally charge $150. You go in, ask all the questions, get all the answers, and see if the procedure is right for you. You don't have any commitment. You don't have any financial obligation. It's fantastic. I loved it because of all the different bullet points that they answered for me. From the time of the actual procedure to the recovery time to the time you'll see the full results and that 95%+ rate, that's what got me. See if it's right for you. Just check it out. No one says you got to do a thing, but if you do decide to do it, you will be glad you did. It's 975hair.com. Go see my friend Doc Linville.
independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dead name just ended up on the list. He's just made Bad Take Boulevard. He says, I can see the Texans trading a pick for an old veteran like Carr or something worse.
Ugh.
Maybe a fifth, like if they decide they're
that's
not going quarterback.
Contract.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. Like, they're not trading for a contract. They're not doing that. 713-780-ESPN. Brendan and I noticed this, Blinkers. He's wearing an Astro hat and a Detroit Tigers shirt. Is that acceptable? To
no,
wear an Astro hat
acceptable.
And a Tigers shirt?
My biggest defense, and I know it's not the same, is that I regularly wear Detroit gear and Houston gear at the same time. Usually it's usually Lions, Astros,
yes.
Well, I mean, Texans, Tigers,
oxymoron,
or something.
Faux pas. You know me. I get upset when people wear, like, Adidas with Nike with Reebok.
Oh, I do that stuff all the time.
But, well, that's not surprising. But here's the thing. That I always bag on my own people from back home because they feel like all sports teams can go together. And they have no concept of, like, color schemes. So they don't understand that green and gold doesn't go with Brewers.
See,
blue and gold doesn't go with the Bucks green scheme, and they wear it all at one time, along with hunting orange and camo.
I will be honest. I did look for my Lions hat today, and it wasn't where I normally keep it, so I just threw on the Astros hat. But
King of Twitch says, Brendan is franchise confused. You can't wear the same league two different teams. You can't do it.
Sure you can.
I completely
agree.
Sure
you can. The Tigers are irrelevant. They may as well not be in the major leagues.
That is a fit foul that you have just pulled off,
Jeremy,
Brendan.
We're on the radio.
He's absolutely right.
We're on the radio so people don't see this. No, I commit fit fouls every single
that's
day.
That's what I
Twitch.
Said.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
But nonetheless, I am not patronizing Crash Davis over here today. I completely agree with him. It's still not preferred or favorable, but you can get away with Lions, Tigers at the same time.
Now, let me ask you
this. But same teams and teams in the same league, you can't do.
Now, let me ask you this. The first time I went to an Astros game, the Tigers were in town, and I wore my Tigers Verlander shirt with an Astros hat.
No. You shouldn't wear the hat.
Next thing you know, you're going to be sewing shirts together to have a half-and-half scenario. You just don't do it.
That's true.
No, that's worse. Mariners are both relevant and in the same division.
All right, Blankers, what was your team that you think is in a... Because we're talking about teams that are in worse situations in the NFL than the Texans. You're hard-pressed, in my opinion, to find one. I'm not sure that if I'm a prospective general manager, that the Texans wouldn't be at the bottom of my list. I think I might rather have every other team in the NFL. There's some ones where I'd have to think long and hard about. Like, I don't want to work with Snyder in Washington, and I think that they're kind of, you know, in this football purgatory where at least the Texans have draft picks. Who is the team that you feel like could surprise people with this
answer? I think it's a sleeper that people don't think enough about, and they're not worse than the Texans, but it could be close to parallel. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If Brady walks at the end of the year, and you've got all these veterans that you tied money into that are basically ready to, like, fall over and play dead as soon as Brady leaves, but the Julio Joneses and the Leonard Fournettes and their offensive line is already terrible, and you've got guys that are, again, contemplating leaving or retiring, and you look at they have some good pieces on defense.
Yeah, Logan
Young,
Hall.
Yeah, young pieces on defense, but you know what? Even the defense has taken a step back to where I think that the Buccaneers are one of those franchises, not as bad as the Rams, that sold out for Brady in the Super Bowl. And the minute that he leaves and a lot of the veterans leave, I think you could leave a crater behind that's going to take a while to dig out from.
I don't hate it, but I do look at guys like Levante David, Devin
White.
Yep. Logan Hall, Go Cougs. You still have Mike Evans. You still have Chris Godwin. So you would
have some defensive backs. Yeah.
You would still have a gaping hole, obviously, at the quarterback position, and they probably couldn't ride into the season with Kyle Trask as the next starting quarterback. So they would have to make a move. But I feel like that's a spot where a lot of people would want to go to where, look, they're probably going to be a team that's the favorite to win the NFC South. Now, I don't think that their shelf life is all that long, and I think it could go downhill pretty quick. Mm-hmm. But you at least have some tangible pieces, tangible good players on that team. So people are texting in a few of these teams that they feel like could be worse, a worse situation than the Texans. 3404 says the Colts.
You're going to get out from under Matt Ryan. And
it seems like they're always on to the next Matt Ryan. Like,
right.
They clean out the AARP.
It's musical chairs at quarterback, yeah. But I do believe that they have constructed a really good team. And we've said, much like the Denver situation, that's a team that's ready to win with a really good roster everywhere else, but they just can't seem to get the quarterback right. And until they do, they're always going to be a struggle bus. But you know, in terms of their draft picks and everything else, I think they have more than they lost, though they gave up some for Carson Wentz. I mean, I can see putting them on the list. They're definitely not worse than the Texans.
What's interesting about the Colts is that they've never went young at quarterback. And I can understand, like, let's go the Matthew Stafford route, see if we can put a solid veteran, find one last magical season and win a Super Bowl. But at the same time, you would like to see them taking, like, a fourth-round quarterback and try to develop from within. And they've never done that. It's just, it's kind of odd to me. But they still have pieces there.
What's Lance's buddy, the GM there?
Chris Ballard.
Ballard. Yeah, Ballard. I thought Ballard did a really, really good job. Quentin Nelson and you know, top five type player.
Ooh, some people and don't love that pick.
I think at the time, people thought that was a steal of the draft, that he really played the draft perfectly.
I mean,
there
he picked him in the top 10, a guard.
But yeah, but surprisingly, but then when he started to dominate, people were like, wow, that worked out really well. I think he secured the trenches on both sides of the football first. But even Leonard is a guy that hasn't stayed healthy all year this year.
Shaquille.
And looks like, yeah, they spent a ton of money and that he might not pan out. So I thought Ballard did a really good job, except for what he's done to struggle to find a quarterback. But now some of the players that, as you point out, look good when he got them are starting to fall off, too, after they got paid. So that's another big problem is we're looking at it from draft capital and quarterbacks. We got to look at it from all the veterans that are, like, taking up a ton of cap room and aren't nearly the player they were when you signed them.
Like, for me, if I look around the NFL, I want like a young nucleus to build around. And the draft capital is great. I love the draft capital. But like the draft capital doesn't always, you know, produce fruit. You know what I mean? Like it's not tangible. Whereas you look at Tampa Bay and you look at some of the pieces we just rattled off, you know that those dudes are good in the NFL. The Rams, when we were looking at that situation, they're older now. Like Aaron Donald, how much longer does he have in the NFL? Jalen Ramsey's probably like at his peak, but soon going to be starting to trend downwards. Cooper Kupp's probably never going to duplicate the year he did a couple of years ago, but those are still tangible pieces. Mm-hmm. And I understand the contract situation. It can eat a whole big part of the salary cap. But at the same time, those are guys that you can count on. Like, I could see the Rams being in the playoffs next year. If they get the quarterback spot right, and if maybe it's Stafford, maybe it's Baker. I think that they're probably a playoff team again next year with some shrewd moves, even without draft picks. Zach says the Falcons might be in just as bad a situation as Houston, but the other teams in the division have underperformed, so it doesn't seem as such.
See, I think with London and Pitts and the young receivers you got, and they've used some high picks on some good football players that, you know, I think they still have an issue they have to address at quarterback, but I don't think they're as bad as the Texans. And I think that they've also got some young pieces on both sides of the football that I wouldn't be too disappointed. I think Atlanta's on the uptick.
They have some players. I don't look, they're playing Desmond Ridder.
No one thought they were going to be 5-8 at this point either.
No, I think that they're better coached than people think. I honestly think that. Now, do they have great foundational pieces? They got Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts, who's been, I mean, he also just tore up his knee.
Year, yeah.
And he's kind of been completely underused. The Falcons might be swinging on Desmond Ridder, to be honest, with how good of a situation that is. And coming out of college, I'll admit this, I wasn't a huge Desmond Ridder guy. So I'm very intrigued to see what he looks like in the NFL and to see if I was accurate on my assessment. And look, his rookie year is too early to tell the book on Desmond Ridder, but I am intrigued to see what he does. Here's another one that might hit close to home, 5798. The Saints are in purgatory to me. They have no first-round draft pick, no long-term answer quarterback, and they've handicapped their cap situation by restructuring contracts for guys like Michael Thomas. Look, this is one that I called when Sean Payton left, because I feel like Sean Payton saw all the things that 5798 just said, and Sean Payton said, I need to get out of this situation and go make myself the best free agent coach out on the market. Because Sean Payton this offseason is going to sit back, evaluate the entire league, and somebody's going to fall in love with Sean Payton so much that they trade a draft pick to attain his rights and then pay him huge money. If the Texans are that team, I'm going to bury them, because the Texans shouldn't be that team. I don't respect what Sean Payton did, to be quite honest with you. But to the point about the Saints being in this purgatory, I completely agree.
Yeah, no, look, I think they're in a tough situation. Michael Thomas has screwed them because of the fact that they committed to him. He didn't commit to them. Then he bitched and after the fact started calling people out and pointing fingers about how the injury was handled. Then the Saints fought back and said, you know, you kept dragging your feet, didn't do the surgery when you were supposed to do it. You weren't ready. Kamara's situation, not just the fact that his skills are starting to diminish and you're paying him a ton of money, but the fact that he had what he had happen at the Pro Bowl a year ago in Vegas that's still lingering and hasn't been resolved. And you're paying a lot of money for guys that are more foundational pieces when you have everything else that are getting older, that aren't, you know, going to end up being as good as they once were. that you're going to have to deal with. And they still don't have a quarterback. So, and I'm not a big believer in Dennis Allen either. So we'll see what happens with the Saints. But they've got a whole lot. I mean, the fact that they overpaid Taysom Hill and they still don't know what position he should play is mind-boggling to me to give him that much money. But finances play a lot more into this than I think a lot of people are looking at. They're looking at the quarterback and the draft picks. The finances, especially for players kind of on the back nine of their career, it play a big part because of how much they absorb. And if you get rid of them, you still have to absorb with dead cap.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What are the worst situations in the NFL? Which situations are worse than the Houston Texans? We just mentioned a bunch of them. I'm still not sure I've heard one that's worse than the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 5038. Can I wear my Astros hat and Broncos shirt, both orange and blue?
Yes.
I would say that that's it's on the cusp.
It's borderline.
It's bordering on.
It's borderline. It's
you bordering can on wear whatever your heart desires.
Brendan, mute your mic. You're not allowed to be in this conversation. You need to recuse
yourself. I'm the only
reason
this conversation exists.
That is true.
Because right, you're
that
a walking faux pas.
Yeah. You need you can't opine on
what
this.
You guys don't see is that I inspire listeners everywhere to wear their Astros hat and Broncos shirt together.
No,
which you
inspire
opine
everywhere
is somebody,
to do not what you do.
Yeah, you what you're doing is you're inspiring people to never have a girlfriend. That's what you're inspiring
Whoa.
People to do. You're
Whoa,
inspiring
wow.
people to never.
It
Whoa.
Went there,
yeah,
like in a heartbeat.
You can't wear Detroit Tiger shirts and Houston Astro hats and expect to have a girlfriend.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm not wearing an Astros hat and a Tigers T-shirt on a date.
I know you are. That's why I said that. If I was actually fearful of you doing that on a date, I wouldn't have said what
You'd
I just
say
said.
It off air.
My theory has always been the same consistency as like if you're going to wear Adidas, wear all Adidas or Nike or whatever. The same thing I would say about teams. Like, if you're going to wear a team, then wear that team's T-shirt and hat. But don't – and someone said they don't do – someone on text said they don't do that because then it looks like that they're an over-the-top fan.
Yeah.
But I would rather have the consistency of saying that's my team than saying, well, I like this team and that team. Because then it kind of gives you the indication you're all over the board, like
yeah,
you said.
Like Yankee fans.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a baseball hat or shirt and a football hat or shirt. Just not
as
two
long as
teams,
they match.
Same league. Yeah, matching's important, too. My wife just texted me and said, I wouldn't have even noticed if you were mixing teams. And now I'm questioning my wife's judgment. Now I'm wondering if my wife has bad decision-making skills.
It just means that once you're married, she pays less attention to what you wear.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's early on when we started dating, she didn't notice that. That's what she's saying. Hmm. She's saying that. So now I'm questioning her judgment, and I'm saying that she has bad judgment. And I understand by me saying she has bad judgment doesn't really shine a great light on me. 7-1, Josh and Beaumont said, is fit foul already an established term, or is that just created on air? I've never heard of it. I'm innovating and creating like I do all the time.
Oh, my.
713-780-ESPN. Robert and Tomball, two teams in the same league is a foul. However, I purposely go different teams on hat and shirt to avoid looking obsessed.
There
that's
you go.
That's interesting, though. I wouldn't mind that. If you're wearing an Astro hat and an Astro shirt, that's okay.
I'm going to start getting
See,
weird
he's
just
saying
messing
he avoids,
you guys.
But he avoids doing that because it looks obsessed. I think it looks
oh,
like
he said
you're
different teams.
Yeah, I think it looks like you're a loyal fan and you're matching it up. Without being jersey-wearing guy in public, which some people have a problem with, too. I think if you wear the Astros T-shirt, especially if you wear like the Astros throwback logo,
yeah.
and then you wear the current hat, you mix up stuff like that.
It's a little much?
It can
Is
be.
Is that a fit foul?
It's another one that's borderline. it's still because the color schemes match in this case that it's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's more acceptable than like matching colors different teams.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a fit foul? Something we've now established. I'm a little
Trademark
worried.
It.
I'm a little worried that I might be fit fouling today a little bit. I just pulled up the Twitch, and Twitch has our video.
You
I'm
got a lot my, of colors.
I do. A lot of unmatching colors. I got a white U of H hat with red lettering, and then I have a navy blue shirt with orange and white on it. I might be committing a fit foul, if we're being completely honest. I think I might be. Brendan, what do you think? As we bring you in as the middleman, the arbiter in this conversation, am I committing a fit foul? I'm wearing a white hat, red lettering, navy blue shirt, orange and white. Am I committing a fit foul?
Okay. I am the wrong person to ask. No, absolutely not.
There you go. It's settled. 713-780-ESPN.
The white is a neutral, and the red is very subtle.
And it's a Friday, and you're supposed to wear your Cougar red on a Friday.
And the fact that if you go with the Houston theme or Astros theme, if you were to assume that with the shirt, that the orange and the red are part of the old rainbow with Houston, you're fine.
Is this a work foul? What is going on right now? Sales guy Q has just called my cell phone. Sales guy Q at 12:50,
and he knows
just
you're
called
on
my phone. Is this a colleague foul?
Yes. Unacceptable.
That has just been
huge
committed.
Foul.
Sales guy Q just called my phone at 12:50. He works here.
He does.
He works at Gal Media.
He sits in
a lot of times
in Brendan's room, salivating to be one of us, and now he doesn't know when we're on the air.
Just saying, he just called me. I think it is a foul. I really do. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get back to the topic at hand. It's a Friday. Anything goes. Which teams have worse situations in the NFL than the Texans? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Big C, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Big C?
Hey, happy Friday, gentlemen.
Happy Friday.
What's up, C?
You're saying that the Texans have a worse situation, but you said it in the long term, not short term.
Correct, yeah.
Long term, Texans don't have a worse situation than most teams. They have 11 picks coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how many picks they're going to have the following year. They're just a quarterback, a good, decent offensive coordinator, a good, decent coach away from being relevant and probably getting to the playoffs, knowing what division they're in. The Jaguars, they're coming up. You see the Titans. You know what the Titans are. Derrick Henry isn't getting any younger. Then you have the Colts. The Colts don't know what they're doing. They don't know if they want Jeff Saturday, Jeff Sunday, or Jeff Monday coaching. You had a Rams who mortgaged their future for a Super Bowl win. The Saints are in the same category. Denver don't know what they're doing. There's a lot of teams that are...
Oh, we lost Big C.
We lost Big C.
I think Big C's right, though. If the Texans had an offense, if they had a defense, if they had a head coach, if they had a general manager, and they had an owner who looked halfway decent, they'd be right there as one of the best situations in the NFL.
But that's quite a grocery list. I mean, that's a laundry list.
That's the joke.
I know. I think that the one thing that I would say when he was saying this, and I was thinking the same thing you were, is, but if you get that one thing at the top of the list, like a quarterback, you're going to have a lot of guys knocking on your door to be that general manager, to be that head coach, to be that coordinator, because if they see the talent that you see and you get the draft pick right, you can change a lot of those quickly.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's opening up another can of worms, because I think that quarterback needs a good situation, that a quarterback coming into a bad situation and making it better, I don't think those situations really exist. I don't think you can point to a situation in the last 10 years where a quarterback came in and all of a sudden everything is good. Usually it's the situation that builds up the quarterback.
Where are you on Minnesota? Because Kirk Cousins makes a boatload of money.
I think they're good. I mean, they're a winning team. They have a good coach. Kirk Cousins, I think, underrated. Here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins underrated and overpaid. Both things
can
be true.
Because they want to move on from Cousins, which would be a bit of a challenge.
So.
Oh, I've heard it from people back in
Minnesota. Why would
they move
on from Kirk Cousins?
Because they feel like that with Kirk Cousins, there's a ceiling.
They're 10-2.
It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what people back there are even talking about, the fact that they know he can only take them so far. And with a Justin Jefferson and a Dalvin Cook and some of the weapons that they have, there's fear that they might not be ever maximizing those weapons with a guy at quarterback that's just a middle of the road quarterback.
Justin Jefferson's been one of the best receivers in the
saying,
NFL.
But if
he's
Kirk
maximizing.
Cousins is the guy throwing to him, that they're never going to get enough out of that. No matter who their head coach and what the weapons are, the quarterback's got to be better.
When do you think they move on from Kirk Cousins?
Possibly in the next 2 years.
I'm trying to decide if Brandon wants to make another bet. Because I don't see any chance they move on from Kirk Cousins this offseason. Zero chance
at all.
What's
his contract situation?
A lot of money. He's overpaid.
But for how many more years? I think it's coming close to coming up.
I don't think they do it this year either. But I do think, you know, a few more years where they fall short in the playoffs, I think it's in play in the near future.
Now, the Vikings, like, here's a case to your point. They moved on from Case Keenum when they won 13 games. They moved on from Case Keenum when they had the Minneapolis Miracle and beat the Saints because they liked Kirk Cousins. Kirk's been playing really well this year under Kevin O'Connell. I think he's maximized Jefferson. I think the numbers prove that as well. I think the Vikings are in a fine spot. Like, I'm not taking the Texan situation over a team who's 10-2 and has one of the best receivers in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Tracy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Tracy?
Hello, guys. How y'all doing, man? Love every time I come home, get to talk about my football team and the Astros and this one. But to be honest, people are in the worst spot right now as the Texans fans. Because even with all the capital that Big C said that we have, what have we shown to do with it as of recently? And from the owner and manager down, like, what is really going on? And the best we've ever had was a divisional appearance. Like, I'm telling you, you get tired of seeing a whole bunch of other stuff. And even if with the picks, are we going to pick the right one? If we'd all be drunk right now. So, that's all.
And I hope when you're getting drunk, it's General Ben. Tracy, thanks for the call. I think that's like... That's a lot of my point, is I understand the draft capital, because look, that is enticing if you're a general manager that you can kind of build this team from the ground up. The 11 draft picks coming up, two first round draft picks the following year, two first round draft picks the following year as well. So you can understand the enticement. You have two first rounders in three straight years. You had two this past season. So you can understand why you'd be excited about that if you're a general manager. Where I come in is where Tracy was at as well, was like, what gives you the confidence that they're going to hit on those picks? And I understand you, a lot of the Hive right now, saying you're talking out of both sides of your mouth because you're advocating for Nick Caserio to remain as the general manager of the Houston Texans. Nothing gives me the belief that that organization is going to reap the benefits of having all of those assets. Those assets right now aren't fixed assets. We have no idea what they're going to be. We have no idea what the first round, the first pick's going to be. We have no idea if it's going to be a bust. We have no idea if it's going to be a trade down. All of these other teams that we've mentioned, with the exception of like the Panthers don't really have anything going on, but like the Rams have been brought up, the Colts have been brought up, the Saints have been brought up. Those teams have some decent foundational pieces. Whereas the Texans, maybe the rookies.
Yeah, I think it's the draft class and the fact that there's really no limits to what you want to do. It's a clean slate for whoever comes in because you don't have like dead cap money and big veteran contracts that you got to try to dump out from and then absorb a lot of the punishment for getting into them in the first place, even though it wasn't your deal. I think that's why a lot of people would like to sign up for this because it's a clean slate. Sean Payton might not because he wants a plug-and-play situation for him where he can just get in and start winning and have all those pieces already in place. But I think for a lot of guys, especially up-and-coming guys, the chance to get on the from a ground floor and start moving up with the quarterback, with the general manager, it's enticing. And no, they can go out and get whatever free agent they want. They can draft whichever direction they want to go. And that they can put their mark on this franchise and this future of this team. And I think that's going to be attractive to a lot of people.
Josh and Beaumont, Fifth Foul Friday should be a new segment where you three nominate one athlete each who committed a foul and post a picture on social media for listeners to vote whose foul was worst. 713-780.
Everybody's showing the walk-in now from the players when they go to the games and stuff. It wouldn't be difficult. Kyle Kuzma once wore that big 4X size pink sweater with matching pink like tights.
Couldn't tell you. I don't keep up with Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, my God. Some of those things.
Oof. If you see a fit foul, tweet them at Pac-Man Joel.
I knew you were going to do
Twitter.
That. I knew by the way, Kirk Cousins has this year and then one more where it's a dead cap of $48 million for next year, dead cap. And then after that, they can unload from him. So 2 years is within the realm.
Yeah, I wouldn't make the bet if it was 2 years. I would make the bet if it was this offseason, if you're interested. Speaking of bets, Killer Bees, we had a huge week last week. We were undefeated. We've handed out a winner each and every week. We do it next as well. Beesy Money with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.